This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila, and it's time now for Mind Your Business, our weekly highlights of some of the major news stories this week that affect businesses in Malaysia. So we're looking at a trio today, starting off with the new minimum wage rate of 1,500 that was officially gazetted and has taken effect nationwide on the 1st of May. We're also then going to be shifting to our inflation because the Department of Statistics has said that Malaysia's consumer price index has increased moderately by 2.2%, and that's driven mainly by the increase in food inflation. And lastly, and I think that this is the thing that underpins a lot of our conversation, is our economic growth or recession. You know, so this question of whether we are headed for recovery or recession is one that we want to explore. Joining us to do all of this is Professor Jeffrey Williams, an economist from Malaysia University of Science and Technology. Prof, thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, it's always a pleasure.
So let's start with the minimum wage policy, right? So that came into effect very recently. How do you see this impacting businesses, especially in this current phase we're in?
I think overall it's likely to be positive. And all of the economic evidence about introducing a minimum wage or raising a minimum wage around the world tends to show that it does overall have a positive effect on the economy. And although 1,500 ringgit, as I've mentioned many times before, is not particularly generous, and the living wage, for example, that Bank Negara has estimated is almost twice as much as that now, if you take into account inflation. Nonetheless, we do have to recognize that a 25% increase in the salary of people at the lower income levels is going to be very helpful for them. It's going to give them more spending power, and they tend to spend their money in local economies. You know, I mean, they spend it in Mamak stores and SMEs and local shops. And so they will have more money to spend for consumption purposes, and they're going to spend that in local communities. And that, generally speaking, will be good for smaller businesses.
What kind of adjustments will we see businesses making to accommodate this?
Well, I'm tempted to say that they're going to have to forego their big fat German car upgrade for this year. But more generally, the minimum wage, you know, is really a transfer. It's a transfer from the people who own the company, the bosses in the company, and it's a transfer to people who are working in the company at the lower wage rates. So the first thing they're going to have to do is think about how they want to accommodate it in terms of their costs and how they're going to pay it. And that essentially is going to make them look at their cost structure, be more efficient, and find ways of paying it. It may mean they have to pay themselves a little bit less, but then they're going to be paying their employees a little bit more. It might, in the longer term, force them to change their business model. We know that during the pandemic, many companies, particularly SMEs, have switched to e-commerce, for example. Now, I don't think that they're going to abandon all of the efforts that they've made in e-commerce. What they're going to do is try to, you know, continue with that. It gives them another opportunity for finding customers. And it may also encourage them to understand that type of technology switching is actually a really great way for them to change their business model. So in the long term, we might see a faster adoption of technologies for larger companies, of course. It's not just a question of e-commerce. It might mean their actual business processes. And so we may see a higher uptake in what people often call fourth industrial revolution type technologies to improve the overall production process. So these type of adjustments in the short term are about finding a way to paying it. That's adjusting your costs, becoming more efficient. In the long term, it's about looking at better business models.
So you mentioned earlier how having more money paid out will also mean more money hopefully spent in the local economy, in a local setting. I was wondering if you could expand on what other benefits might raising the minimum wage bring to the economy as well.
Well, yes, there is that additional consumption of people for people at lower income levels. We also know that all of the economic research on minimum wages, in fact, the winner of the Nobel Prize in economics did his work on minimum wages. And I have to admit, when I was younger, I used to be of the view that minimum wages would be quite damaging. But the empirical evidence doesn't show that. And it actually shows that, generally speaking, there is, at worst, it's neutral in terms of employment, but at best, it can actually increase employment. And part of that is because of the increase in expenditures. Part of that is because the companies change their business models. And that has a bigger, wider effect on the economy. There's something that we call a multiplier effect. So even if it's only an extra 300 ringgit a month, the fact that that money is going into the economy causes more demand to be created. So generally speaking, it has a positive effect on economic growth. It can also, as I've just mentioned, help us to adopt technologies more quickly. But I think there's another issue, isn't there, in the context of the Malaysian labor market, which is the situation for employees in the Malaysian labor market hasn't had a good press recently, let's put it like that. And I think that this idea of increasing minimum wages is going to be beneficial in terms of improving the reputation of the Malaysian labor market, particularly for international investors, and that will be really quite helpful.
So moving on, the Department of Statistics has announced that our CPI increased by 2.2%. How are we doing in terms of controlling our inflation rate? What are the key factors that play into these numbers?
Well, the short answer is that we're doing really quite well, because this time last year, inflation was 4.7%. And that was because of an increase in oil prices. So I have to be a little bit nerdy now, but I'm just going to just bear with me. I'll get through it. Actually, Malaysia doesn't really have an inflation problem, because inflation is defined as all prices are rising. We call it generally rising prices. And what we see in Malaysia is that some of the components of the CPI have been rising, particularly oil prices, food prices, and some of the utility prices, particularly for non-residential users, which are businesses. And it's really those three areas that have been rising. Now, the government has introduced subsidies for petrol. Malaysia is able to do that because we are a net exporter of petrol. And there are also price caps and price controls on some of the food items. Now, these work in the short term, but of course, we don't want to have these running on into the long term, because in the long term, they can cause problems for the economy. But in the short term, it really has helped to keep the CPI down. So if we compare 2.2% here in Malaysia to what the Bank of England in the United Kingdom was saying yesterday, they're looking at 10%. So you can see that actually Malaysia is doing really quite well in terms of controlling the CPI. And that's quite important, you know, because people set their expectations based on the CPI. And so if the CPI is quite high, people's expectations are that prices are rising, then they will push for higher wages and they will push for higher prices and higher costs for the things that they're selling. And so by keeping down the CPI, we're moderating inflation expectations, which are a big driver of the inflation process. Malaysia is not America. Malaysia is not Europe. It's not United Kingdom. And just because they are having difficulties with their inflation rates doesn't mean that we have to have that here. And in fact, the figures speak for themselves. That's not to say that in the rest of the year, we won't see the CPI moving up a little bit. But generally speaking, I don't expect us to be seeing 8-9% inflation in Malaysia.
I wanted to know, you mentioned, or you started your answer by saying we're doing relatively well. And I wanted to know what it was that we've done. You know, as somebody who has not necessarily been following along, what are the things that have been put in place that have been working, that should continue, that could be adjusted?
Well, I say relatively, because if we were in normal times, looking at 2.2% for headline inflation, people would say that was quite high, because generally speaking, the headline inflation rate in Malaysia is below 2%. So relative to where we might be in normal circumstances, it's not as bad as it could be. And of course, relative to how bad it is in other countries, particularly Europe, America, United Kingdom, for example, we are doing quite well. And one of the reasons for that is the use of subsidies and price controls. Now, these would be unspeakable in the United Kingdom. If I was in the United Kingdom recommending price controls, I mean, I would be laughed out of the common room, frankly. Nobody would listen to that. That's why they are now using interest rate policy in order to control inflation, because they would never countenance interfering in the market to keep prices down. But here in Malaysia, we have a different approach. And that approach is to use direct intervention into the market to keep the prices low.
So how does this inflation rate affect businesses that are still trying to recover from the effects of the pandemic?
Well, businesses have to face increases in prices all the time. It's part of the business process, right? And what we're seeing at the moment is, yes, some of their costs will be rising, and they will have to accommodate that in terms, as we mentioned a little bit before, in terms of minimum wage, for example, their costs rise, they have to make economies and improve their business efficiency. And it's true, yes, that we are in a recovery phase, but even when companies are facing higher costs, for SMEs, for example, they buy their petrol at the retail petrol stations just like everybody else does. So if they're buying RON 95, they're benefiting from it just as much as you and I, just as much as normal consumers. But what they will see is that although their costs might be rising, we are seeing the economy open up. And people are going out a little bit more than they have been before, in some cases very much more in tourism and so on, very much more than they had before. And so they should be seeing the benefits of increased spending, the benefits of more consumers, and that should offset any cost problems that they might have.
So our final story that we wanted to look at is there have been a number of headlines surrounding Malaysia's economic status. Simply put, are we in a recovery phase?
Yeah, well, the simple answer is yes, we are. We are in a recovery phase, but it's quite tentative. And for the last 3 years, 2020, 2021, 2022, at the beginning of the year, we've been very positive. The forecasts in January have always been very positive. And then as the year went on, things have happened which have brought the forecasts down. We are now, yes, we're in a recovery phase. The shops and restaurants and the tourist outlets and all forms of business activity are opening up. This is a very, very good thing. We're finally seeing the end of the SOPs and restrictions and so on. So yes, we are in recovery phase, but things outside of our control have come along which cause problems for that. In the global economy. We have, of course, this ongoing conflict, terrible conflict in the Ukraine. We have high oil prices. We have the effects of the zero COVID lockdowns in China. And now we're also seeing anti-inflation austerity policies, which are causing interest rate rises in America, Europe, United Kingdom, and so on. And that means that some of our major markets for exports are going to be weaker now than we thought they might be in January, in the earlier part of the year.
We have about 2 minutes. The IMF has also said that projections suggest that Malaysia's recovery will remain uneven. So what challenges might there be for businesses in the short and medium term?
Well, I think the challenges have come primarily from the global economy, what's going to happen in the global economy. The Asia Development Bank, for example, thinks that if things work out, they've reduced their forecast, but we might still see above 5% inflation for ASEAN. But other commentators think that if some of these global problems persist, then ASEAN growth would be perhaps as low as 3.5%. And what that means is that this is Malaysia's biggest export markets, and China is a big export market. Europe and America are big export markets. So these are challenging. And that makes me feel that we really should focus on the domestic economy and try to drive as much growth as we can in the domestic economy, improve conditions in the domestic economy, keep interest rates low. It's very, very important to keep interest rates low, to continue with opening up the economy and try to encourage local businesses, particularly SMEs, to benefit from what's happening domestically. Because SMEs don't export as much. And so they're not so heavily dependent on what's going in the going on in the global economy. And they're the backbone of the economy in terms of employment, in terms of the number of companies in particular. So we should do as much as we can domestically to try to support the domestic economy and domestic companies.
Prof, always a pleasure speaking with you.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Have a great evening.
You too. That was Professor Jeffrey Williams, an economist from Malaysia University of Science and Technology, joining us today on Mind Your Business, in which we talked about the minimum wage, our consumer price index and inflation, as well as our economic status, so to speak, what we can look forward to in this recovery phase. After this, we'll be back to wrap up this week's headlines. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.